This is the first episode of Interviews with Regulars with your host, Jay. This is the first episode of this podcast, and it means a lot that you, the listener, tuned in. Today, we are going to meet a good friend of mine, Louis. Let me bring him into the interview room. Louis?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Pretty good, man. You know, this is the first time ever I've ever done this on podcast. You know, it's something new. So how do you feel like you're being the first guest ever?
I feel honored to be first guest in this podcast. I know it's going to...
What were you going to say? It was going to what?
Oh, I feel like this is going to be very successful for you, and I know you're going to go far.
I appreciate that, man. Those are very kind words, and I cherish those. You know, what can you say about yourself to the viewers or the listeners?
My name is Louis. I'm an IT professional currently. I'm in my 20s currently. I'm really into, you know, anything that can teach me something new. I'm into learning. I'm into challenging myself. I feel like I'm always trying to challenge myself to improve myself as a person and just be more knowledgeable in anything I can be.
And when you say, you know, you're going to challenge yourself into like a knowledgeable person, you know, what kind of challenges do you feel like you're able to self-improve?
Life, trying new things, challenging myself as far as projects I take on. As I actually moved across the country, I think that was a big challenge. I've heard a lot of people say that it's very impressive that he moved across. You know, they wouldn't be able to do it. I think that was a challenge in itself, you know, moving from the comfort of where I lived with my family in Texas all the way to Arizona.
It's a long way from home, dude.
Yes, definitely is.
You know, do you ever miss home?
I definitely do. I miss my family, but I know that I made the right choice coming here and just challenge myself as a person and kind of get out of that safety of where I was.
Like, in other words, like you were stuck in a bubble. Then once you get out of that bubble, you're able to, how do you say?
Definitely.
You know, able to experience new things, you know, meet new people, try out. I don't know what is there in Arizona. All I know is that there's Phoenix, you know, and I've only been to Phoenix about one time. Actually, I've been to Arizona twice in my life, but that's when I was a young lad. I would go over there and travel with my dad. You know, my dad, you know, he was a truck driver, and even though, you know, all he was doing was his job, he would like bring me into his truck, and he would just show me the world by doing his job. You get me?
Definitely.
Yeah. So
the world is an impressive place. There's so many things to see. Arizona in particular. I visited the Grand Canyon for the first time in my life.
Oh, what?
Not long ago.
Was it beautiful?
So, very beautiful. Never seen anything like it. I never actually left the state of Texas before that. And it's just amazing to see what's out there in the world.
Do you think, you know, just seeing Arizona itself, it's just like the one small part of the world? Do you think there's a lot more to see rather than...
Oh, definitely. Arizona is just, you know, a grain of rice in the bowl of our rice that's the earth. There's so much out there, like I said. I plan to travel a lot and see a lot of these places. It's amazing the world out there. You kind of just take that leap of faith, and it's crazy to think that there's so much out there.
Okay, now that you say that you're an IT professional, what do you actually do in IT? You know, what made you work in IT in Arizona? Was it just because there was an opening, or do you think you were able to learn more out there?
Getting into IT, I started when I was about 8 years old, messing with computers, messing with all that stuff. Originally, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a doctor. I definitely felt like, you know, being a doctor, that's a very prestigious thing to do. And that's always something that I was definitely interested in following through. It just didn't work out. You know, it just felt kind of getting more into the computer world and IT world. I felt like that's more of my calling. It's been a passion of mine since I was a little kid, as I mentioned, just something that I definitely saw myself doing. And so I just decided one day that I was going to start getting really into it. Went to college for it. I have a associate's and bachelor's degree in information technology. So So where I am now, I'm very passionate. I have multiple certifications in.
Oh, wow. What kind?
I have some in Cisco, Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure. Those are two cloud providers. It's a big growing thing in the information technology world. My main passion, though, is networking and security and cybersecurity just in general. I saw it's a very demanding, growing field. And like as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I always want to challenge myself. And cybersecurity is definitely a challenging field.
So what do you, you know, like I'm very like a little bit more ignorant on this kind of subject, you know, even though I own a computer, you know, I mean, owning a computer doesn't make you a genius of shit, you get me? But so now that you're saying, you know, that you know that the cloud is becoming a big thing, but you're also focused on cybersecurity, are they both related to one another, or are they two separate fields, or are you trying to get from the cloud or learn from the cloud and then get to cybersecurity, or like what's going on right there?
In a sense, they are two separate fields, you could say. Cybersecurity is more like on the security side, but they do meet, and in that you have to be able to secure the cloud. As I mentioned, we're moving more and more into cloud and moving everything to the cloud. You know, a lot of people that know about iCloud, just putting all their information data into what's called the cloud, which is a bunch of servers. You know, but as I mentioned, it's just crazy. The cloud is growing and everybody's dependent more and more on it. And I feel like that's going to be, besides cybersecurity, the cloud is going to be the next big thing, if it's not already huge. And I just try to, you know, see what's coming up, what's going to be huge, and try to follow that. It's always challenging, like I mentioned, just in general IT. I'm not in for the money. Money's good, you know, but I just have a passion just to learn. I mean, anything that somebody puts in front of me, I'm definitely interested in learning.
Oh, wow. That's I really like that answer. You know, I know you mentioned it in earlier, but it really shows that this is your passion. Now, how come within that field, you know, when it comes to IT, and I remember that earlier in this conversation, you mentioned that it's a growing, demanding field. Why isn't there many people? I understand, you know, that people are always going to be different. They're not going to be like you, but they're not going to be like me. However, with, let's say, we're going to 8 billion people in the world. And even though there's 8 billion people in the world or close to it, what do you think people are not joining into the field when there's a lot of demand for it? And especially when you said the money is good.
The money is definitely good. I like to think that just it's very difficult, and I think people don't believe they can do it. I feel like even at some point I felt like it was going to be too much for me, and it kind of just makes people shy away from it. It's very demanding, and everybody thinks, you know, oh, you're working in IT, you got to be like this really smart person, you know, genius type of person, but that's not true. I definitely feel like it's very difficult initially to get in, and it can be difficult. But I believe anybody can definitely get into the IT field. But I mentioned that I think the thing that kind of makes people shy away is that they say that they have this belief that, well, I have to be really smart to get an IT, and it's very like, you know, only the best of the best can get into it. But I really truly believe that anybody can get into this field, and there's a huge demand, and we need more people to get in. So I myself try to reach out to people I know, or just people that have questions. I definitely try to, you know, answer their questions, try to guide them, help them out, send them resources that I have, that I find, because I'm always on Twitter, always, you know, studying and getting into these things, because I try to stay ahead of the trends, and, you know, just keep up with everything. It's always every day changing, every day something different is going on.
So in other words, so you're learning something new every single day within that?
Yeah, definitely. And maybe that's also something that kind of makes people shy away, because you're always learning. It's never just a stagnant type of job where you're just kind of sitting there. It's always, you know, learning. And maybe that's what also makes people kind of shy away from the field. But I'm here to say that anybody can get into IT, in my opinion. It's a lot of hard work. I'm not going to say that it's not. But I truly believe that anybody can get in if they have an interest, if they have a passion for this type of you know, career, I definitely urge people to reach out, look for resources, you know, just look into it. It's definitely a very well-paying career field, and it's not going anywhere. So I really, you know, behoove people to try to look into it. Like I said, it is kind of scary. I see where that's coming from. I've been there, but anything's possible, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I see, man. That's very, you know, that's a positive way to see it. Not only that, you know, at the same time, I see that you put in like a realist perspective, you know, like I see that, you know, a lot of people don't want to try out things that are, you know, I guess difficult, or they just want to put in the time. You know, when I'm saying putting in the time, and this is another question, how much time did you put into this field?
So I got started, like I mentioned, when I was about 8 years old. I kind of didn't really invest much into it at that point, just because I had wanted to be a doctor, and kind of my family, I guess they kind of pushed me into that, like that, becoming a doctor. I mean, nothing wrong with doctors. I think that had I not gone into IT, I would have definitely gone into something medical or science-y. That's also something that I really am passionate about, science and all these type of things, chemistry, biology, just different science, the history. I think it definitely would have been something I would have pursued more had I not really gone into IT. But I got into IT, and I love working in IT. It's very stressful at times, but I feel like I'm making a difference in the world, you know, just doing what I do.
How stressful can it be?
It depends. It really can be stressful. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people that are in the IT field that suffer from burnout, depression, things like that. And it's unfortunately very common, just because, as I mentioned, IT is very learning. And you always kind of want to push yourself. You know, I feel like that's a lot of things that a big thing that IT professionals kind of go through. They always want to study, and they kind of don't take a break. But I feel like that's with anybody in life. Like, they kind of push themselves a little bit too hard, and maybe their jobs are pushing them a little bit too hard. Not taking breaks, not, you know, taking time off, not resting properly. That's unfortunately something that a lot of people in IT suffer from.
Now, I kind of see why you're saying, you know, it's an in-demand field. Not only do people are, you know, they shy away, but at the same time, I feel like they also go into the field, you know, they expect some things, or I don't know, they're, you know, they learn, you know, they stay, but then they realize how difficult it is. So it's, they back out and they look for something else. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I see that. And I also see a lot of people that are in other careers. You know, I've heard stories of people that are attorneys, you know, they're hospital nurses, stuff like that. They see that IT is, you know, a booming field, and that it's very in demand, and you know, it's a good field. You're going to make a lot of money. Maybe not initially, but, you know, as you progress, you know, move up the ladder, you'll be hitting, you know, six figures, you know. You just kind of keep pushing. So I feel like a lot of people get in, they realize maybe that's not their thing. But I also see a lot of people that are in other fields, they transition into the IT field. And I've seen a lot of people have a lot of success with that. So that's great to hear.
Man, that's very inspiring. Is this not the main reason why you went to Arizona for it?
I feel like, you mentioned earlier being in a bubble. I felt like where I was previously, I kind of just reached the peak of where I was going to be able to move forward. I didn't see maybe any progression where I was at. So that was one of the driving factors in moving to Arizona, and also be with my girlfriend.
Oh, I see. So you have a girlfriend over there.
Yes, I do have a girlfriend over here. That's one of the reasons, you know, everything kind of just fell into place with the job I currently have. So that just made it, you know, even easier to decide to move over here. Everything worked out. I was, you know, right location, you know, good amount of, you know, correct salary, benefits, all that. It kind of just all aligned. And that's made moving here much easier. You know, everything kind of just fell into place.
So when you mentioned, like, you know, everything fell into place, you know, I hope this is not too personal. What did you have, you know, besides being your girlfriend, what did you What do you have in Arizona that you didn't have back in Texas?
I say, obviously, my girlfriend, that was kind of what pushed me to move here. And, I'm really grateful that I decided to move here. It's been a learning experience. I've experienced so many new things since moving here.
Oh, I see. Wow. That's very, I don't know, man. That's a big sacrifice. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought we disconnected. I thought we had disconnected for some
Oh,
reason. So now that you, I know that you mentioned this before, about moving to Arizona. But now I kind of want to see, or I wonder, now that you're in this field, you're very deep into the field, what kind of sacrifices did you make to get where you are today besides moving home?
Definitely, it's, missing out on, hanging out with my friends. I've just wanted, the position where I was at, I just felt like I deserved more, or I could get do more for myself. So maybe that kind of made me sacrifice time with some of my friends, just, stop doing things that were distractions at the time, watching Netflix, stuff like that. I kind of told myself I need to get on the ball. So I started studying a lot. I started getting different certifications and just trying to, better myself, better the path I was on and move into a better job. And it's definitely paid off. I'm here with my girlfriend. I have a good job and there's just more opportunities to move up. I'm glad to be where I'm at as far as career wise, but I know there's more for me out there and that's what I'm always looking for. I'm striving to do better, striving to do more. And that's kind of my goal, just to make sure that I be the best I can, do the most I can, be able to support my family.
Oh, I see. Now, I in your answer, you have mentioned that you're always bettering yourself. Do you think, will there ever be a limit to it?
Definitely. I feel like maybe the thing is that I'm still young and so I'm still hungry and always trying to better myself in that sense, because I know there's a lot of people that are in this field, for example, that have been here for kind of 15 years, 20 years, and they feel like, okay, they already hit their peak and they're happy where they're at. Maybe I'll get there someday, but I'm still young. I still feel like there's so much more out there for me, so I'm always trying to work and do better and just be a better person in general, not just the IT field. That's one part of me. My life is not IT. The IT is just a part of my life,
I see. It's a huge, it's like a huge factor. No. What kind of impacts in your life did you feel like IT was that escape? You get me? If you want me to rephrase my question?
Yeah, if you could just rephrase it, please.
Okay, so what I'm trying to ask, what kind of impacts in your life or what has happened to you that made you want to get into IT besides, that you were 8 years old, but like, was there anything that, impacted you personally, like let's say for example financially, or that you or what's up?
Yeah, I'd say that it wasn't just financially that drove me to or motivated me to get into IT. It was just bettering my life. I started when I was 8. I kind of, invested in myself in that sense. When I was in high school, I was learning, but I wasn't putting my full effort, if I'm being honest. I kind of doubted myself in that time period that this was something I could do. And like, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of people don't get into this field because they doubt themselves. And I was at that, at that point in my life, where I was telling myself, can I really do this? Am I really smart enough to get into this field?
Do you think that's just the I'm not sure if it's a myth or not, but I see it a lot on and I know when I was in psychology back in college, I know there was this lesson that it was called the imposter syndrome.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Do you think
That's definitely
Do you think that you were, yeah, do you think you were part of that imposter? Did you ever think that you were the imposter? That, I don't know.
Definitely. I definitely fall like that. And if I'm being honest, I still feel like that sometimes. It's just something that I think a lot of people battle daily. Even though I'm doing pretty good for myself. I'd like to say, you know, I have a good job. Everything's kind of going good for me. I still sometimes feel that I am an imposter, you know. Because the way I see it is, I've learned so much, but then the more I learn, I feel like the less I know, because I'm digging into something, and then that opens up a whole new thing, and I feel like I don't know as much as I think. And I think that's kind of what stopped me for a little bit in my teenage years, if I'm being honest. I was into it. I remember being in high school and looking into all these hackers, and that fascinated me. Not because I wanted to be a black hat hacker, which is like, you know, those hackers that cause harm. But it was just interesting to me. But I never thought to myself, like, I can actually do this. And I think I kind of suffered through that, you know, imposter syndrome, just, I guess, self-doubt, until I got into college. And I told myself, you know, I needed to either, you know, put up or shut up. And even if I was going to try it, and even if I failed, I at least tried to do it. And so that's when I got out of high school and enrolled into a college, and initially started in the computer science field, and then moved over to cybersecurity after some time.
Are they two different things?
Computer science, I'd say, is more programming, more program-oriented, as opposed to cybersecurity, which focuses more on the security of, you know, computers and networks and, you know, companies, stuff like that. And I just felt like that was more in line with what I wanted to do with my life. As I mentioned earlier, the hacker thing, that would fall under cybersecurity. There is, you know, everybody hears the term hacker and they think, oh, it's this evil person, you know, they want to cause harm. But there is good people that are hackers, you know. They're called ethical hackers, and they're there to help people and help companies. And that's what I always wanted to do, be an ethical hacker. That's still a goal of mine to this day.
Can you like set up like an example, like what did a ethical hacker do? I don't know, like something that came out in the news. Not maybe, you know, I don't know. It could be a long time from the beginning, or recently you heard it in the news, or.
Oh, so like an ethical hacker, what they would do is, you always hear about these companies getting hacked by all these cyber criminals, you know, bad hackers. What an ethical hacker would do was, let's say, a company like Google or Amazon, they would hire these people to basically mimic what a bad hacker would do, so that the companies would know, okay, this is a vulnerability or a hole that we have in our network.
Basically, so like they, like to test it on themselves, or
yeah, basically test out their network to see, okay, like this is something we need to fix, or this is something we need to fix. It's a big field right now in the cybersecurity world. As you know, you're always hearing about these companies getting hacked and data being stolen. So it's definitely a huge industry. And every time you hear on the news, this company got hacked, it just, you know, drives up the demand, and, you know, more people are throwing money into that pool of cybersecurity. Like as you heard, Joe Biden, he introduced some new cybersecurity law or bill or something because the Colonial Pipeline got hacked.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. You know, from my understanding is that a lot of people were freaking out. Was it? I think it was the one with the gas crisis, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that happened not too long ago, but man, I'm so out of to date. How long ago did that happen?
I'd say more or less about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And Nick mentioned it caused a big scare with gas shortages. It caused all that stuff, unfortunately. So that's a scary thought, you know.
Did it affect Arizona?
No, it did not. Just because Colonial Pipeline, they mostly service the eastern part of the United States.
Mm.
It's the eastern coast up to Houston area, oh, okay. Texas.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. So we're on the west coast. You know, it didn't really affect our gas supply.
I see. I just learned something. It's actually, on the east side, not on the west side of the country. Anyways, now I know. Okay, so I know that you mentioned about ethical hackers and that you want to be one. Now, I see a lot of hacking in the media. Is it what it seems to be?
Definitely not. You see all these movies where it's like 30 seconds and they're just pushing buttons and that's how easy it is. It's not really like that. Then I think a lot of people see these, movies and media, news outlets, and they show these little quick, hacker, tutorials, or they show hacking to be very easy. I mean, in a sense it can be, but it's very, it's not very common where that happens. It's usually a methodical process that is followed out, all these steps, that are followed through to actually do some kind of attack like that. It's not just some 30-second, clacking on the keyboard type of thing, and then you're in. Where I feel like I see that a lot, and that's just not really correct. And I think that kind of drives people to be like, oh yeah, well I want to be a hacker like that. It's that easy to hack in. And there's just a big fascination with hacking, that a lot of people tend to kind of gravitate towards too, because they think it's so easy. And it's just, I mean, it's very interesting, that people kind of gravitate to that. They want to be hackers and all these things.
It's like basically a kid wants to join into the army because they played too much Call of Duty.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a reasonable comparison.
No, I see. Well, so now I'm just thinking about the earlier, like earlier in our conversation, that I know you said that you doubted yourself a lot, and you also mentioned that people tend to shy away from something that's too difficult. Now, I guess my question would be, what is something society normalizes that tends to be either your pet peeve or just really bother you?
Not really sure.
Nothing at all.
Not off the top of my head, unfortunately.
Oh, I see. Nothing at all. Nothing comes to mind.
Not at this moment, unfortunately.
I see. Okay, so it's just, does it also bother you that people just give up on things that they're not willing to try?
I definitely don't think it bothers me. I just want people to know that, if you believe in something, you can definitely achieve it. And I've been there where I doubted myself and maybe I didn't follow through with something I wanted to do. But I definitely want people to realize that if you dream it, like you definitely believe it, you can do it. I mean, all these people that, Jeff Bezos, they started just like you and me and everybody in the world, like just with an idea. And they worked at it, and maybe it was hard. It definitely, like I like to think that these, like all people have dreams, and it's not smooth sailing all the time. It's gonna get difficult, but I think that's where you push through. I were to get to this point, like I was I started off, my first real job was selling ice cream from a cart, and I feel like that was hard. And a lot of days I just wanted to quit and give up. It's hard to push through, you're working in the sun, you're getting yelled at by people, ridiculed. It's hard to get through those days, and a lot of times you just want to give up. And I know it's definitely hard to keep going through when things get rough, and you have these ideas, and it's easy. I don't want to say it's easy to give up, but it's definitely hard to push through those times,
It,
I
I'm sorry, man, but I would hold that in mind, but I know when you mentioned that, it's not easy. It's not easy to get up to give up. However, I kind of see it in this way, because I remember a couple years ago, I was when I was feeling down. I when I was feeling down. You know, I at the time I was literally working in fast food, and well, I was making what, $7.50 an hour at the time. And I was living with my mother at the time, and I just I had just recently graduated with my bachelor's, and I guess you could say that, you know, I painted a false picture, you know, success when I got mine. But at the same time, you know, I learned to see that it's not what I study for. It's not a demand into the field or a demand in a job market. But I just felt like I was really ready to give up. So I remember I was talking to a friend of mine. You know, I'm gonna call her A. A had told me, you know, she saw that I was, I was in my, I wasn't doing too good. And I'm talking about this, you know, financially. And she had told me, something that I still carry to my heart to this day is like, you know, it's easy to give up because it's easier to give up than to have hope, you know. But if you have that hope within you, that shows how strong you are, because a lot of people tend to give up. They take that path rather than sticking to it or trying at least, or just accepting failure. You get me?
Yeah, no, I definitely understand what you're saying, and I agree. It's definitely easier to just give up and just kind of quit on your dreams. But I like to believe that people can do whatever they set out to do. You know, if they have this vision of starting a business, you know, they should do it. It's not ever going to be, you know, easy all the time. There's going to be tough times in life. You know, I don't consider myself a success by any means, but I've been there. You know, I had tough times, and at that point, I feel like you just kind of have to battle through. It's not easy. Like I mentioned, it's easy to give up. It's hard to keep going and have hope, as you mentioned. But I think more people should definitely should try it. You know, other people, you know, they say that fear kills more dreams than, I can't remember the exact quote, but I know that they say fear kills more dreams. I can't remember the second part, but I agree. You know, being fearful and doubting yourself, it definitely kills a lot of dreams that you never know. I like to think that, hey, if you fail, at least you tried, and you can't, you know, life's just too short. You can't live with regret. I feel like that's something that a lot of people do, live with regret and not trying something. So I've just kind of tried, you know, even if I feel like a thing is going to be a challenge, I'm going to try it. And if I fail, that's, hey, at least I tried. I don't want to live with regrets. Life is too short.
Do you, what can you say that you felt in at times that you look back and you're just like, you know what, you feel like it was meant to happen so you could keep on going?
You know, I just fails. Things I failed in that got me to this point. I guess jobs, you know, not going, you know, not getting to jobs that I thought, you know, this is gonna change my career, and just failing life. You know, we make mistakes, and I think, you know, fails that have gotten me to this point, I like to say just things that didn't work out, not necessarily fails, you know, things that didn't work out that maybe would have led me down a different path, but it got me here. I don't really know. Maybe not. Like, you know, a fail, I wouldn't say. Maybe not things go good, things not going a certain way. You know, that I thought at the time should have gone some way, or I thought that this was the end all be all. Like, okay, if this door opens, and, you know, this is going to change my life, or this is gonna, you know, things will be different. But I think it all worked out in the end. You know, maybe that didn't work out, but another door opened up that got me to where I am now.
Man, it's, you know, I like the way you think, man. It's very, you know, a lot of people should hear what you got to say. You know, it's, you know, it's, It's kind of, you know, it's just reality, you know. I just feel like it's just reality, man. Like,
I don't necessarily think of them as fails, but just maybe redirections that guide you, you know, to a different path. And maybe at the time you think like, ah, oh, you know, like I wish it would have worked out, you know. But sometimes you go back and you think like, I was just having this conversation with my girlfriend that, you know, there's a chance that, you know, had this not worked out, I would have never met my girlfriend, you know. So I'm kind of grateful that everything worked out the way it did. You know, I'm pretty happy with my life, I'd say. I'm doing okay for myself. I have everything that I need and want. You know, I'm always gonna want for more in a sense. You know, I'm always trying to better myself as far as, you know, being a better man, being a better, you know, boyfriend, husband, just a better person in general. So there's that. But right now, I'm glad, you know, certain things at the time that I thought I wish this would have worked out, I'm glad they didn't, because they got me to this point, and I'm happy.
Did you ever have, like, you know, people tell you know, you ain't gonna amount to much at all?
I've definitely had those type of people, just in my life. Definitely a lot of people saying those things to me. It's easy to kind of take that and let it get to you, personally. And I'll admit that I've had that happen to me. But I like to take what people say, that I'm never gonna, you know, amount to anything. I'm never gonna do that. I'm never gonna do this. And I just keep that I guess keep it inside me and use that as motivation to just push forward and prove them wrong. I guess it would be spite, but I always try to, you know, use that as motivation. I try not to tell people that, you know. I feel like that brings down a lot of people, and maybe not everybody's like me, that they kind of take it in stride and say, okay, you don't believe me? Well, I'm gonna do it anyways.
Now, that's the thing, you know, that people think that, you know, it's you know, it's a sense of pride or a sense of spite. However, people tend to not see, you know, another way. You know, they don't see it another way. You know, I personally see it as someone who is determined. You know, who's
Yeah,
determined.
definitely.
You know, I feel like maybe I'm not gonna use the word motivating, but you know, they are determined to become, you know, like, you know, like how you said it, you know, like how you had a lot of people tell you, hey man, you ain't gonna do shit with your life. But at the same time, you are determined to show them that, you know, I could do way more than I can before. So I had a
And
loogie in my throat.
I think, you know, a lot of people have told me that, and at times, like I said, it's easy to take that personal, and I admit that at times it kind of got me down and it affected me. But I like to think that people that say things like that, they're just jealous of you, I guess you could say, or they're kind of insecure about themselves, and they want to put that on you to make you feel bad. But I don't think you should tell people that they can't do something. A lot of times people are going to take what you say and use it as determination or like motivation, I guess you could say, and they're going to do it.
And what kinds of people are those? I know you mentioned jealous, but what I mean is, like, is it like strangers, coworkers, friends, family?
I've definitely had, you know, strangers, you could say, coworkers, even some people I considered friends at the time, you know, that say that I wouldn't do anything. Just a lot of people have, you know, told me these things, and I don't know if it's necessarily jealousy, but I try not to, you know, let it get me down and let it affect me in a negative way. Like I'm one that, okay, you're telling me I can't do something, like you don't believe in me, then I'm gonna do it anyways. You know, I've bet on myself a lot of times, in the sense of, you know, leaving comfortable, you know, jobs that people said that I was, I guess, an idiot for doing, or taking risks on myself that I knew would work out. You know, it's very scary to, like, for example, I left a good job, you know, good benefits, good pay in a sense. A lot of people thought I was an idiot for leaving to leave for another job that, you know, not quite the same benefits, but, or, you know, not the same benefits, maybe a little bit equal on the pay. And a lot of people doubted me and said that, why would I do that? I was, you know, so doing so good at where I was at, and I had such a good job. And I just wanted to bet on myself. You know, I think that when you take risk and you do the things that scare you the most in life, and that's when you grow most as a person. And that's what I did. I just decided that I was going to do the thing that scared me the most, you know. And I did. And I left that good job, you know, you could say, for another job. And I, you know, worked my ass off. I got to a point where that job turned, like, at that company, I progressed and moved up. And I, you know, everything that I had before, I had more of, you know, I had benefits, I had more, you know, I was making more money. And you know, I was learning more, and I was leaning more into what I wanted to do in my life. You know, I left a job that wasn't really, you know, I was happy and I felt like I was accomplishing a lot, but it wasn't quite what I wanted or what I saw for myself in my life. So that's why I took the risk and jumped to this other job. And it aligned more with what I saw myself doing.
So I see that you took that leap of faith. You know, I'm not going to be wrong. You know, you're not wrong either. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, taking that leap of faith can be scarier than being stagnant.
Yeah, I think that's where I was at the time that I left that previous position, for example. I felt like I was just getting stagnant, you know. I wasn't feeling challenged anymore, per se. And I think, like,
when you say that you know, you didn't feel challenged, is because you just, I don't know, like, what made you not feel challenged? Like, was it getting boring? Was it getting too easy? Or did you just feel like you were not going anywhere?
Definitely, I just felt like it wasn't necessarily going to move up in the ranks of where I was at, and I just felt the job wasn't, like, very challenging, because I built everything from the ground up, so I more or less knew how everything worked, and I mean, it just became less challenging, and just, I didn't see a path of progression, and I think that's also what kind of, you know, pushed me to start looking for other opportunities.
Okay. Do you feel like you have any regrets?
Definitely not. I don't have any regrets at all. I'm glad I kind of, you know, moved on, and that led me to something better. It kind of pushed me, you know, like I had a lot of doubters, you know, in that time period of my life, but I also had a lot of supporters, you know, that definitely helped a lot.
Yeah, man. But that's good that you have a good, like, a good, you know, a good support, you know, a support group. You know, like a strong support system. You get me?
Exactly.
Yeah, that helps. That, you know, sometimes a lot of people don't really have that, but at the same time, at the end of the day, I feel like the only person that you need to support, or you need support from, is yourself. You get me?
Yes, sir. Completely agree.
Yeah, so it's good to have that kind of support. And like we mentioned earlier, man, it's a lot easier to give up than to having hope. And people don't see that kind of strength, that they have, you know, or they tend to, they're just blinded by, I guess you could say, they're just blinded from their own actions. Maybe it's not the good way to say it, but they just, you know, I've seen a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of people that are close to me where they have so much potential, man. They're, you know, their knowledge is very amazing. You know, whatever their brain capacity can carry, you know, they know so much. They know, you know, sometimes they can predict what's going to happen a few seconds after, or they know how the person's going to react. You know, it just amazes me how people can be, or what they are capable of doing. You know, I could see it in you. You know, you're capable of doing so many things, man. You know, like you made a lot of sacrifices, but at the end of the day, you know, it did work out for you. Maybe, you know, it's not exactly how you wanted to work out, but it worked out in different ways. I know sometimes people would feel like, you know, they're they just don't know what they're truly worth. So
yeah, so. I definitely agree. It's easy to kind of doubt yourself, and I think like social media has played a big part in that.
Mm-hmm.
People kind of don't see the value in themselves because they're so, I don't know, I guess like conditioned, or they check on social media and they see this person doing good or this person doing good, and maybe they're not where they want to be in life.
Not only that, but they put that idea in the limelight.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, like, I don't have anything against about rappers or any models. You know, they put their success in the limelight, you know, but at the same time, they don't put that, what the struggles that they put, you know, what they gone through, they don't put that on there. You know, sometimes they probably, you know, make a post saying, yeah, you know, I've been through this and that, but, you know, a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but like, there's people that are not going to read it. They're just going to see what they see there, you know, just one quick like, and after that, they continue on to the next post, another quick like, another that, another favorite, they send it to your homies, and then, you know, that just expands, they just sends, you know, that just spreads out so quickly, you know, that spreads out other people's mind, you know, it's like a virus, you get me? I'm not saying their success is a virus, but the person that, how they see it, I guess you could say, you know, how they perceive, you know, that picture or that post, and they send it to your friends, and they show them, or they explain to them how they view it, and then that same idea passes on. You know,
and yeah.
That's just me personally.
I definitely feel like people kind of take social media too serious, in the sense that they, like I said, they see something, they see somebody doing better than them, or they see these, you know, model, celebrity, influencer, you know, whatever you want to call them, and they're doing so much. But the thing is, it's just what these people want you to see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, they're not kind of showing you the other side of the coin, you know, like all the failure, all the, you know, all these other things. It's, and that's the thing, like social media is just like conditioning you to see everything is going right for these people, and it's not necessarily always going right.
So I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, no, I was done.
Oh, okay, so when do you think it's too much social media? Like, I'm not saying social media is bad, but, you know, if you compare it to the past, it shows that, you know, it's amazing how we are able to easily connect with one another. You know, we don't have the fucking Pony Express going on, you know.
Yeah.
But when do you think it's just too much social media, when a person absorbs too much social media?
I guess when they let it affect them like that much, I'd say when somebody's letting social media affect them, you know, their mindset, their mental health that much, I think that's when they're doing too much with social media. Personally, I'm not against social media, but I don't spend a lot of time on social media anymore. I kind of rarely do, just to connect with, you know, my friends and family. That's about it.
I see.
But I mean, I can see how people could get influenced by social media.
You were going to say something.
I think that more people need to kind of embrace their failures as well. Not be ashamed of failing. I mean, I think failing is a part of life. And I think it's definitely healthy to kind of share your fails as well. Life is not all smooth sailing, and it's not always going to go perfect either. But I think that's what social media kind of makes it seem like, oh yeah, everything's going perfect for this person.
Yeah, I can see why it correlates, you know. You know, not only that, you know, at the same time, social media may help that. I feel like sometimes, you know, social media, when you care about social media, you also care what the other people think.
Yeah.
So when they're scared to share their failures because it's very common now, like they're gonna get told shit or they're gonna get roasted on.
Yeah. Or,
you know. But I see sometimes, you know, sometimes depending where you're part in the world, Like, for example, is it China, you know, where they want the person to be, you know, above average?
I believe so.
Yeah, but not, I guess because, you know, sometimes when people, you know, they think about that, it gets to their heads, but at the same time, you know, like, who gives a fuck? You know, that's your shit, man. Like, there's no shame to it, like you said, there's no shame to it, but it's just that idea that gets to them.
Yeah, I definitely I'm in a group where it is a networking group, and we talk about our failures, you know, and talk about our wins as well. And I feel like that definitely helps people by knowing that, you know, nobody is this robot, you know, perfect, always, not everything goes right for everybody, even though there's some people in there that, you know, they're doing great, you know, with their lives, they're accomplishing all these things. They're human as well, like they're just like me and you. And so I feel like it helps people kind of see that even the, you know, people that are doing great for themselves, they're not, everybody's human at the end of the day, right? So I guess it definitely helps with that kind of mindset thing, you know.
You know, yeah, because there's and when it comes to that, there's no really aspect to a right and wrong. You know, there's only, you know, I guess you could say, I mean, I know it's not literature class, but it's like more like a cause and effect. Like, you do what you want and you get the consequences at the end.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, that's your experience to learn from. You know, now that you're saying. Now that you mentioned this, you know, now we were having this conversation, you know, what other experiences, you know, that you could say that molded you to this day or made you become the person you are today?
I guess just being told I couldn't do things, like definitely I feel like that kind of pushed me into this direction, and just things, I guess just being told I couldn't do it and just wanting to challenge myself, I guess could definitely got me to this point in my life. Just I don't really know. I think things just going the way they did, you know, events that have happened to me kind of molded me to do what I do. I feel like I'm very into studying. I'm very into like growing as a person, just because maybe I want to have a better life for, you know, my future kids, you know, future my wife. I want to have better than I had when I was growing up. I think I had a pretty decent childhood. Things weren't perfect. I feel like maybe money was an issue, and that's why I work as hard as I do, because I want to ensure that doesn't happen to my kids in the future. I guess just myself who definitely motivated me to get me to the point I am, working hard. My parents instilling a very good work ethic into me, instilling what's right and wrong. I think that's definitely what got me to this point.
Yeah. Now, you know, I understand, you know, we talk about the past, but and then now that you mentioned that, you know, that you were, you know, there's times that you were losing hope. If you were to, let's say, go back 4 or 5 years ago from, and you were able to speak to yourself from 5 years ago, what would you tell yourself, you know?
I definitely would tell myself to believe in myself, you know. I really feel like I doubted myself for such a long time, and then I decided, you know, one day I was gonna follow through with what I wanted to do. You know, I gave up. I went on a trip with, you know, two of my best friends, and while they were doing something fun, I decided to just take a risk on myself and take that first certification exam. And that was like 3 years in the making, just to take that one cert, because I had bought the books I needed, I had bought the, you know, courses I needed, but they just sat there for the longest time.
Where was this at?
And what was that? Where was that at?
That trip.
Oh, it was to Houston.
Oh, I
The
see.
my yeah, they went to a festival. So what I would tell myself 4 or 5 years ago was just believe in yourself and don't doubt yourself. You know, you can definitely do anything set your mind to it. I mean, I've gotten to this point just by believing in myself. It's been hard, you know. It's hard to believe in yourself, and it's easy to doubt yourself. I mean, by having that book sit there for a year like that, just because I would tell myself, like, oh yeah, you're not smart enough to do this, like, you can't get the certification. And then I just took a chance, you know. I drove, like, you know, 6 hours to a testing center, and there was this whole thing I went through that definitely could have demotivated me, or, you know, made me quit. The, you know, I had to get into a building I didn't know. I was in an unfamiliar city. You know, there was just a lot of roadblocks during that, you know, just to get to the test. That could have definitely made me say, you know, fuck this, I don't need to do this, you know. But I, you know, pushing through definitely helped me. That's what I would tell myself, you know, believe in yourself and everything's going to work out. That it's hard to think, or it's just crazy for me to think that, you know, not too long ago, even 5 years ago, I was selling ice cream from a cart.
Yeah, that's a big upgrade, man. You know, an ice cream man, you know, pushing from a cart to someone that's, you know, that's a vital access to IT.
Yeah, it's, I would just tell myself to believe in myself sooner if I could, you know. That's what I tell myself to, you know, push myself and just kind of break through the fears. That's what I would tell myself. Everything else will work out. And if I would tell myself that everything did work out, you know, I mean, that it all worked out in the end.
Now you mentioned, you know, about that test that you took in Houston, man. Do you really believe that you would have given up everything, or do you think you would just try it again?
I definitely would have tried again, but it would have been definitely demotivating, or, you know, devastating to me to fail. But I have failed, you know, in life, and I mean, certification exams, for example, I have failed, and I just got back on the horse, you know, and next time passed it. I mean, that can be applied to anything. I mean, I know I'm talking about like IT certifications here, because that's, you know, that's my first kind of breakthrough in that sense that got me to this place I am. But it's easy to quit again. Like, you can fail, but I definitely think everybody should just get up and try again and try again if that's something you really want. The first step is always the hardest, I like to say. Once you start the first step and you take the first, you know, you take initiative, it's definitely easier to keep the ball rolling. Since that day, I've, you know, kept the ball rolling and progressed in life.
What would be your personal philosophy, you know, now that you, you know, throughout this whole interview, you know, what would you consider to be your personal philosophy if you're willing to share?
Personal philosophy, just believe in yourself. Always believe in yourself. It'll take you places, you know. Like, you can just dream of the things you can do in your life if you just believe in yourself. Like, your dreams will come true if you just keep believing in yourself. Like I said, I started selling ice cream. Imagine that. And now I work in an air-conditioned job. You know, I'm pretty high up where I work, and I'm doing some pretty good things with, you know, as a job, and I'm making pretty good money, you know. Not something I ever believed I could do, you know, growing up. And that's it. Like, I never believed I'd get this far at this age. So just always believe in yourself. Definitely, it'll take you places beyond your wildest dreams.
Damn, man, that's very deep. You know, is that something that you would like to say to your viewers or to your listeners?
I just want to say thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
No problem, man. You know, I really appreciate you having being my first guest, you know. If you want, you know, we can give it some time and we can have another interview to see where you're at to this day. You know, I feel like you have a lot of, you know, there's a lot of potential in you, man. And the way you speak, the way we met personally, you know, it's something, man. You, not only that, but at the same time, I feel like you don't let, you know, so you're, even though no matter how small your successes or how big your successes are, you don't let it get to your head. You know, you don't you don't feel like you're better than the next man.
No, I definitely don't feel that way at all. I mean, I think we're all equal at the end of the day, and as long as you are, you know, doing what you want to do in life, that's what matters.
Okay. And then even before, man, even before we end this, man, is there anything you would like to say? Anything else? You know, so it could be anything.
I just like to say, you know, once again, thank you for having me. And I hope just one, I can inspire one person with this podcast to kind of never give up and push through, even through tough times.
I'm sure you will, man. You know, it's your words are not to be taken lightly, man. It means a lot. Those are very strong words. You know, I'm glad that we had this interview. You know, I had no idea it would be this inspiring, but now I feel inspired to keep on doing this podcast. You know, it doesn't even matter if I do it in a professional setting or if I do it for fun. You know, it's something that I'd love to do. You know, I really hope I get something out of it. You know, not for gain. You know, I'm not trying to do it for gain. I know I just said that, but you know, I guess you could say, you know, I really hope, you know, I keep on doing this. You know, meet new people. This, you know, it'll be great. You know, and thanks again, man. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man. Well, stay safe. You know, stay safe. You know, have a good night, and I hope you have a great day tomorrow, man.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. This interview was recorded via Discord. Once again, thank you for tuning into the episode. There will be many more episodes to come. If you feel like you have something to share or want to be in this interview, please DM me on Instagram. My DMs are always open and my handle is Interviews with Regulars. Once again, my Instagram handle is Interviews with Regulars. Thank you for tuning in.